The human race has just begun its exploration of space, so it seems too soon to spend too much time brooding about the future of life, the universe, and everything. Luckily, astrophysicists like Lawrence Krauss do some of the worrying for us. Krauss and a colleague at Case Western Reserve University have spent years asking the cosmic question, what happens next? He told Steve Paulson that the galaxy keeps on surprising us.
The new information is that it looks like it will go on expanding forever, not just expanding, but in fact expanding at a faster and faster rate, which is really surprising. It is actually totally inexplicable at the present time. We really don't know exactly what it is that's causing that repulsive force. We have some ideas, but it also means, if it's true, the future of the universe is dramatically different than we thought it would be before, and from the point of view of the future of life, unfortunately, it appears to be the worst of all possible universes to live in.
Now, why would that be? What does it matter whether the galaxies are rapidly moving apart?
To most people, it may not seem to matter what the galaxies are doing to their everyday life, and in fact, that's true. What happens to our galaxy is on a timescale that's really irrelevant for our everyday life. But if you're interested in thinking of the long-term future of life, as we learn more about the universe, we want to study the universe and learn more and more about it. And the old wisdom was that the longer we waited, the more of the universe we would see. Because after all, light travels at a finite rate. Therefore, if the universe is, say, 12 billion years old, we can only see out a certain distance because light has only had 12 billion years to travel to us, even if the universe is, say, infinite in size. If we waited longer and longer, we would see more and more of it. But in fact, in such a universe where things are accelerating, we see less and less of the universe with time because objects eventually speed up so that relative to us, they're actually traveling away at faster than the speed of light. Now, that may sound impossible, but it's not. In fact, the rules of general relativity tell us that things that are far away from us can travel with respect to us faster than the speed of light. The implication is once they are doing so, they become invisible to us. The light literally can't catch up. It leaves those objects and it never makes it to us. So if you're a scientist, that's pretty depressing because it means eventually the scientists of the far future will only be able to see our own galaxy and nearby galaxies, but we won't have the slightest clue about what's happening in the rest of the universe.
But aren't you talking about billions of years from now?
Of course I am.
It's worth noting that the Earth is only, 5 billion years old?
We're talking about 18 or 20 billion years. That's like that joke of about someone who was told that the sun was going to die in a few million years. He said, a few million years? Oh, no. And the person said, oh, no, it's really a few billion years. And the fellow goes, oh, good. I was worried. The point is that, yes, this is a cosmic time frame. This is not going to be relevant to us and our nearby civilization. But in fact, those of us who perhaps some people might say have nothing better to do worry about issues such as the far future of life. And the point is the time frames we're talking about are times during which the universe will look largely the same. In 18 or 20 billion years, there'll still be stars like our sun, and there'll be planets around them, and life forms and civilizations that are very similar or powered by solar power, etc. The universe will not look very different. So civilizations that live on planets much like our own, when they look out, when their astronomers look out, will literally not be able to see much of the rest of the universe. That's one thing. There's actually even a worse implication of all of this, but it takes place on a much longer time scale. We have argued that if the universe is accelerating, that in fact life ultimately has to end.
Hmm.
You know, again, that may seem esoteric, and it absolutely is, but it amazes me that we can use some very basic laws of physics. Here we are sitting on a planet around a star in a remote corner of a remote galaxy in the middle of nowhere, and yet we may be able to argue about the ultimate future of life in the universe on the basis of very simple physical laws.
Because why would life end because the universe is accelerating?
Well, the point is that life requires energy. We're learning that now as more and more in our society. We depend on imported fuel and eventually maybe solar power. But life requires energy to survive. And in a universe where things are moving away from us ever faster, we really have access to only a finite amount of the universe to try and get energy from. Right now we get it from our sun. Later on maybe from other sources. But we know that if the universe is accelerating away from us, then basically, even in an infinite amount of time, we only have access to a finite amount of energy. That means that life, which is powered by energy, has to take that into account. And, of course, you can take it into account by conservation or by other more esoteric means. In fact, the physicist Freeman Dyson and I have been having a big debate about this. He's proposed a beautiful and cute way to try and have civilizations survive as long as possible, and that's by going into hibernation for ever longer and longer periods and waking up for a short time, doing a lot, and then going back to sleep. But we've argued that even with that, in a universe which is accelerating away from us, in fact, there just won't be enough energy for life to continue doing that forever. And after a time which is truly cosmic, truly very long, life will have to end. Any civilization will die. And again, it's completely impractical from an everyday perspective. But it would be truly remarkable if we could actually prove that on the basis of simple laws of physics and on a basis of the expansion of the universe.
Now, I want to bring this discussion down to Earth. At least,
if it's possible.
Yeah, at least talking about the future of Earth itself. Now, you said that life will end if this theoretical model holds up many billions and billions of years from now. What about the Earth itself or our solar system?
Okay, well, the future of our Earth is dismal. The first kind of disaster that might befall us, if we think about the disasters of the future, is we know that our planet is bombarded regularly by large asteroids and meteors and comets. On a time frame of once every few hundred million years, on average, our Earth has been bombarded by such a large object that it causes great damage. 65 million years ago, the one that hit in what is now Central America, and we believe was responsible for helping kill off the dinosaurs.
So we're going to get smacked again at some point.
We're going to get smacked again potentially. Now, that's one something we might be able to guard against with our telescopes. Right now, we know there are about 1,000 objects in the solar system that are in potential Earth-crossing orbits. And if we refine our measuring technology, we may be able to, for example, have 10 or 20 years warning before such an event would happen, in the best of all possible worlds. We might imagine a Hollywood science fiction scenario where we send up something that will deflect or destroy the object that is likely. These objects are only about 5 to 10 miles across that are likely to do all this damage. And therefore, it's not completely implausible that we might not send up some nuclear weapons or something to destroy the object, just like the recent Hollywood movies on that subject. We wouldn't do it in 2 weeks, but if we had a few years, we might be able to save civilization at that level.
Yeah, suppose we blow up the asteroid that's going to kill us. So what's next?
The next major disaster is likely to be the fact that the sun is actually getting brighter with time. It was about 20% less bright than it is now when life first evolved on Earth. And we know in about 2 billion years, it will become about 15 to 20% brighter. Now, when that happens, what will happen is there'll be a runaway greenhouse effect, just like happened on Venus, we believe, several billion years ago. Venus is the way it is because it's just a little bit closer to the sun than we are. And what happens is the sun heats up the water evaporates. Water vapor is a greenhouse gas, and it causes the system to get hotter, and then more water evaporates, and you get a runaway effect, and all the water on Venus evaporated and eventually left the atmosphere, and it became so hot that the surface temperature of Venus is greater than about 1,000 degrees. When the sun reaches about 15% greater luminosity than it has now, greater brightness than it has now, the Earth will be in the zone in which there will be a runaway greenhouse effect, just like Venus. Hmm. Now, maybe there'll be some technological fix for that. Maybe we can put a big umbrella over the atmosphere, or in fact, I have great confidence that we might be able to do something like that. So maybe we can save ourselves at least 2 billion years in the future. But then 5 billion years in the future, the sun will burn up its hydrogen fuel. Then you might think it would go out like a candle burns out in the dark, but in fact, it will do exactly the opposite. The inside of the sun will start to shrink, and it'll get hotter, and the outside of the sun will puff up, and eventually the sun will become what's called a red giant, and the size of the sun will be such that it will actually encompass the Earth's orbit. Now, the Earth will, during the process, actually get pushed out a little bit. But it's hard to imagine, at that point, much you can do to save the Earth.
So at that point, we better have those spaceships ready so we can start voyaging into other areas.
Exactly. In fact, at that point, one hopes, if we have a civilization that survives that long, since we know it's coming, we'll be able to have spaceships ready, or maybe we'll be able to colonize Mars, for example, as the simplest alternative. There's lots of alternatives. The end of the sun and the end of the Earth do not have to mean the end of life.
But if the sun disappears, then there's no point in colonizing Mars, is there?
But the sun will be bright for a while longer in its new form, and Mars will be farther away, and we could live on there for a while. But you're right, when the sun stops providing power, then there's no point in staying on Mars, and the real point is to build a roving, self-contained spaceship that either supplies its own power by taking in starlight or by using the magnetic fields of the galaxy, or where we eventually just move on and colonize some other world. I mean, all of this is science fiction. But I think the ultimate future of life, if it is going to have a future, is to imagine becoming wandering travelers. And in fact, you know, that's the history of life on Earth. If you think about it in the past, groups have left where they were, where they, you know, were apparently comfortable, to go out on difficult and long voyages with the potential never to return. It's happened throughout human history, and people have done it when wherever they were became unbearable, either for political or religious reasons or economic reasons or something else. And eventually, our future is in the stars. But, you know, in a way, that's kind of poetic if you want to bring it back to the beginning, because we came from the stars. Every atom in our bodies was once inside a star that exploded. In fact, the atoms in your left arm may be from a different star than the atoms in your right arm. We literally are stardust. Every atom in our bodies, the elements that make the oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, all the things that make life possible were all created in the stars. So we know that we came from the stars and we'll just eventually head back out there.
Lawrence Krauss is the author of Atom and an astrophysicist at Case Western Reserve University.